Friends, I just have to settle down a bit, and I can just tell you to come back to Eden's Landing. It's just great. And you have to forgive me. I am going to preach. I don't know when, but I am going to preach. But before I do, there's so many of these young people, and yeah, I just, but this man, you know, Ross, has done so much for me. Why do you hide? Come here, buddy. Sammy, why didn't you sit there on your place?
There was somebody else sitting there.
Great to see you. Yes, is this possible? Mia? My mongrel friend. Guys, this is a mongrel. Simon? Gee, mate. Good to see you, Matty. Yes, this is the biggest gift God could have given me. There's so many others I would just love to greet. Oh, it's good to see you. Oh, man. I don't know. Peter, yes, you have to come and hug me, man. Come up here, Pete. Look at this smart shirt. Can I change you? Good to see you, mate. Yeah. There's so many that I would just love to give a hug and just say thank God for friends. You know, I truly believe that God was so good to us that He spoils us. And just before retirement, He spoiled us to send us to Eden's Landing. I must be very honest with you. I had a wonderful time in the ministry, and I've enjoyed every church. And I love Toowoomba, and I love Bishopdale, and I love all my churches. But the warmth, of Eden's Landing, I've never felt before. Poor Ross. Man, I am a mongrel, you know, and the things I want, and I can see Ross's eyes widen, and he wants to say no, but then he feels so sorry for me, he say yes. Yeah, these ladies, I can't. I, Goretti, where's Andrew? Goodness me. All of you, get up. You can't sit down. It's good to see you. Oh, the Fatus. All the lovely girls. I never miss a hug. You can see that, eh? You. Okay, I'll start. I. I want to talk to you about the heart of the Father. Excuse me. Many years ago, I visited a farm, and I didn't know the man I was collecting money for Adra, and the whole house was so cold and so dark, And when I walked into the front door, there was a picture of a young man with a uniform on. And the door was open, and I knocked, and I saw this young man, and there was a candle burning. And here comes an older gentleman walking out, and he looked at me. He said to me, "Can I help you?" I was so memorized with this picture. I said to him, who is that picture? Who's on that picture? Because this gentleman was deep in his 70s, and that picture was a young man of about 20. I said, "Who is that on that picture?" He said to me, "Sir, that is my son." I said, "Your son? He looks so young." He said, "Yes. That photo was taken 35 years ago, just before he was killed in a plane crash." And this old gentleman started to weep. He was crying so much that I had to take him in my arms and just give him a hug. I said, "Sir, I'm so sorry to hear that." He said, "My friend, I am mourning and I'm crying day after day. For 30 years, my heart is broken and I'm thinking of my son." I'll never forget that. I have a brother-in-law. His name is Pastor Eddie Harris. I think, you didn't meet him. Eddie Harris was with me at college. He was my best man. He married my wife's sister. We were great mates. He helped me through Greek. If it wasn't for Eddie, I wouldn't have been a pastor, because my English was so bad. You can imagine how could I study Greek. But Eddie helped me. He was a genius. He graduated super cum laude. With graduation, he didn't go into a pastoral position. He became the treasurer of the Caprivi. A brilliant man. His daughter got married. And on her wedding day, or 2 days after the wedding, they were traveling and she was killed in a motor car accident. Friends, Eddie Harris is younger than I am. You know what? He's in such deep depression that he can hardly talk. He's in such deep depression that in a way he has a denial that there is no God. I'm talking of one of the most brilliant pastors I've ever known. This man, day and night, weeps for his daughter. I have another friend, Bavin Cherry, and my wife's cousin. They also lost kids in motor car accidents. Friends, if it becomes time for the birthday of these kids, and we are talking 20 years, they are dead already. For 20 years, they are mourning day and night for their children. The heart of a father. You know, I'm staying with Ron and Lenore. And in the morning when I go to the kitchen and there's some food there, you know what's the first thing Ron say? "I must take some for Justin." That's his son who's not living there. You know, a father, the love of a parent, the love of a father for his child is something you cannot describe. And God has planted that love in our lives that we know how our God are. God wants us to know how He feels about us. Dear friends, we have to know one thing today, and that is God loves you. God has compassion over us. God misses us. He's longing. He's burning the candle day and night. He's standing at the gate watching and waiting. if his children is not here. I tell you, I feel the joy of God to see my criminal mate here, Osiris. I preach about him. I think about him. I pray for him at Mia. Because I know how God felt that day when they stood there in the back of that church. I know the joy of heaven when they came forward and stand on the stage. Because the angels knew, they were rejoicing. My child is home. Dear friends, I don't know how I'm going to stop 12 o'clock. I wanted to preach two sermons, and I haven't started one yet. So I better move. But what a joy. Friend, what a joy to talk about my Father. What a joy to share with you the heart of my God. My God, my Jesus. You know, he didn't walk with Pharisees and Sadducees. He ate with the sinners. Because every child that is lost, every child that has walked away, God's heart is in pieces. Oh, I love to speak about Jesus. Visitors, I do. I love the word Jesus. I love the name. There's power in the name. But the older I get, the more I think about my God. I think about the one that has sent Jesus. You know, God's son didn't die in a crash of an airplane. God's son didn't die in a motor car accident. God's son died because God has planned a way for you and me to be in the everlasting kingdom. Amen. My God. Many days I sit there and they say, how can a God be so cruel to sacrifice his son? I can tell you, how can he be so cruel? Do you know why, Peter? Because he looked into my face and he said, that man will be lost, my son. You have to go through it. That's my God. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares for us. Okay, my first sermon. If you want to turn with me very quickly to the book of Isaiah. Maybe I'm not going to read it all. You can read it at home. Okay, Isaiah 53. He says, he was oppressed and treated harshly. Yet he never said a word. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep is silent before the shearer. He did not open his mouth. From prison and trial, they led him away to his death. Even long before Jesus came to this earth, the prophets wrote these words and they said exactly what's going to happen to the Son of God. Even long before Jesus take up the form of a human being, when he was in the center of attention and the angels worshipped him, it was written of him that he will die. You must read that. You know why? For your sins and mine. The Son of God, and God had to go through that pain so that we can have everlasting life. I have a very good friend in Queenstown in my church there. He's half Samoan and half Pakeha. But man, he's big. He is Graham. He's big, Sammy. He's a big man. And you know what I love? To walk to him and just take him around his arms. And I said, wow, I missed my friends there in Eden's Landing. You know, they talk a time of trouble. Have you heard about the time of trouble? They say, run to the mountains. I run to Eden's Landing. This is where they're going to protect me, these boys. Yeah, you know. It is just wonderful. Friends, my God and his son. If you read through this, I have to read two more verses and then I stop the first sermon and I'll start the second. Isaiah 54 verse 7. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with great compassion I will take you back. Simon, for a brief moment I have abandoned you, but with great compassion I will take you back. In a moment of anger I turned my face away for a little while, but with everlasting love I will have compassion over you, say your Lord and your Redeemer. Oh, God loves naughty children. He just enjoys them. Isaiah 55, also verse 7. Let the people turn from their wicked deeds. Let them banish from their minds every thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to your God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's my God. You know, he will have mercy on you. He will abundantly pardon because it's the heart of the Father. It's a Father longing for his child. It's a Father that burns the candle. It's a Father that is depressed every day if his children is wandering around. That's my God. Friends, when I thought what to preach here, I was here and there and I didn't know what to preach. And last night, I threw everything away and I thought, I'm going to talk to you and tell you what is in my heart. You know, we older men, where is my other friend with the beautiful moustache? And oh, Bob. You know, we older guys, I remember in our sermons here, you know, we were the older ones. Our time is running out. Young people, before you flap your fingers, life is gone. I'm on the last stretch. The only hope I have is Jesus. The only hope I have is to place my confidence in the righteousness of my Savior. Because, Jakes, when Jesus comes again, I want to be there. You know, I won't be there if he comes, I know. But I want them to shatter my ashes there in the Kruger National Park. And the day when Jesus comes, I tell you, those ashes will move. You know? They will move, and then in a twinkle of an eye, it will change. And I will see the one who has died that I might live. I'm going to see the one that was brave enough to take my sins and give me his righteousness. I want to see him. Jesus, what a fool are you? How can you die for a wretched sinner like me? And he will take his cloak and put it around me and say, sinner, you know, sinner, you are my child. You are the son of the Father. Can't wait. Finish sermon number one. Sermon number two. How do Jesus see the Father? How did Jesus proclaim, friends? I'm so sorry, I'm going to go a bit over time. I hope you don't mind. Is that right? But please don't walk out. Just sit down. Just please sit down. How does Jesus portray the Father? How does Jesus portray the Father? Turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. And I have to just read this. Luke chapter 15. Tax collectors and other notorious, is that right? Notorious sinners. What translation have I got here? New Living. Ron, I thought this is a King James. What does notorious mean? What is notorious? Before I go any further, I might make a mistake here. What does notorious mean? My Bible say sinners. This Bible say collectors and other notorious sinners. Ah, that sounds a serious business. They must be quite bad if they're notorious, whatever it means. Sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complaining that he was associating with such. Goodness me. Listen to this Bible. I like this. That he associate with such despicable people. It stands here. Come and look here. Jake's come up here. What does that? What was that? It is. Ron, your sinner gave me the wrong Bible. But I love this word, you know. Notorious, despicable people. It tells me that Jesus is here talking about sinners. Bad people, man, bad. You know, they are despicable and notorious, whatever. Now, friends, I want you to see now, Jesus is telling us, he's speaking about these sinners, these bad, notorious, despicable people. Listen. He said, I want to tell you a parable. The parable is about a shepherd. That's from about verse 2. The parable is about a shepherd. And this shepherd has 100 sheep. And while the shepherd was counting his sheep, he realized that there was one sheep not there. You know what he did? That Jesus said this, not me. He is now telling us about his Father. He wants to tell us the heart of the Father. And he said, that shepherd leaves 99 sheep behind and he go and he search for one notorious, despicable sinner. Yes, he go and look for him. And then he came to the wilderness and here is this lamb or the sheep and it's grazing peacefully, eating the green grass and drinking the water. And the shepherd see the sheep and he said, you are in danger, you are lost. And he loves that sheep so much, he didn't take a whip and the dogs and say, chase him. He will never do that again. And then he comes in a paddock and he put him in a paddock where there's only thorns and thistles. And he says, sheep, eat thorns and thistles, you will never run away again. I will show you. No, you know what he did? He picked him up. And he put him on his shoulders and he carried him home. And when he got home, he called all his friends and they had a party, a rock band, music. And Jesus froze a party because he found a sheep that didn't even know that he was lost. Because the heart of the Father was bleeding for that sheep. The Father couldn't rest. The Father lit a candle. The Father was depressed. The Father couldn't handle it that one of his sheep is lost. And Jesus said, my Father love you so much. Now that you are back, we're going to throw a party. I like that. I wish I could have joined that party. I wonder what they drank. I would have drink with him, whatever it is, because Jesus was there. You know, friends, you just have to listen to me. You just have to sit down. Just calm down. This church brought so much joy to my heart. I don't usually do it. And Norma, you have to forgive me. If you cross, it's all right. I'm going to tell them the story. This church had a young man. This young man fell in love with a 13 or 14 year young girl. And he was placed under censorship. And I looked at that young man. There's my wife. You can ask her. And I lie in bed. And I pray for him. Yes, one of God's sheep that has maybe strayed away, and we place him in a camp of thistles and thorns to eat. I remember I want him to take up offering, and they say, no, he can't, he's under censorship. I said, please, can he sing a song? They say, no. Friends, I can remember how I was lying at night praying. Then this young man had to get married with that beautiful girl. And I thought, man, now they're going to throw you to the dogs. And then my head elder phoned the parents. And he said to them, I want you to tell the kids that I love them and they are welcome at church. At any time. I could imagine the heart of the Father to see his people caring about one of his children. Then that head elder went even further and he broke all the rules in the book and he said, you bring that little baby, and he's here today, and we will dedicate him. What a joy. Friends, God doesn't want one of his children to be lost. And if we see they are not here, we should walk and look and search until we find them. The heart of our Father is broken. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for this nice story. I really like the shepherd and I like the sheep. And I like the party more than anything else. Thank you for the joy. And Jesus said, no, I'm not finished yet. I'm only starting. And straight after that story of the sheep, he said, yes, now I can't see. Or suppose a woman has 10 valuable silver coins and lose one of them. Same story about the heart of the Father. A little penny rolls under the table, and when it rolls under the table, this woman clears up the whole house. She sweeps, she vacuum cleans, she brings the cleaners in. She did everything she can to find this piece of silver. She forgot about the 10 others. She wanted that one little coin. And when she found him, she called everybody and she threw a party again. They dance again. Man, it's a wonderful story. You know, my God is so wonderful. When a lost coin or lost sheep or lost notorious, what was the other word? Despicable sinner comes back, God and the angels throw a party. Yeah, it say that. It say that. He said over some, God that ever, somewhere there, it say that there was joy in heaven. Second story, the last story, and I will close with this story. No, I won't. I will tell you another story. I was a pastor in a place called Kimberley, and I had to go and visit a man. His name was Taksira. Ron, did you know Mr. Taksira in Johannesburg, the Taksiras? Mr. Taksira was a very wealthy man. He was the head elder. He preached every second weekend. You know, they were very well-known people. And Mr. Taksira made a mistake and he went to jail. And he called me. He said, Pastor, come and visit me after in jail for 2 years. When I got there, I had to go and see this man. I thought it's a big criminal, you know. Here he comes out, this small little man. He said, hello, Pastor, how are you, Mr. Taxira? I said, I thought you were a big criminal. Oh, no, 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 Pastor, sit down. I said, yes, Mr. Taxira, what is so urgent? He said, Pastor, I want to tell you something. 4 weeks ago, I met Jesus. I said, what? He said, yes, Jesus had to throw me in jail so that I can meet him when I can't run away. Pastor, when I was outside, I was the head elder. I preached. I gave money to the church. I was the most popular person in the whole church. And then I never realized that I was like the lost coin. I was in the church, but I was lost because I never knew Jesus. Oh, friends, I hugged that little man. And then I met him 2 years after he was released. Mr. Taxira, how are you? He said, oh, Pastor, I'm very well. I said, how's things going? He said, it's going very well, but at church, they don't want to accept me. Oh, Pastor, they placed me on the censorship. I'm not allowed to preach. I'm not even allowed to take up the offering. Now that I met Jesus, I was not allowed in his house. When I was a sinner and a lost coin, I preached and I do all these things. Friends, come on. Do you know God? Do you know the heart of the Father? Despicable and notorious sinners. That's the ones that my Jesus came for. I'm closing with the prodigal father. The prodigal father. Very quickly, the prodigal father. Here's the father. Now, Jesus has told us stories, and we were not sure who he talked about. But now Jesus, for the third time in a row, Jakes, first he talks about the shepherd, then he talks about the coin, and now he says, you think if you can't get it, I hope you get this one. I'm talking about the father. The father had two sons. And the one son came to him and said, Dad, I want my inheritance. Dad, I want to go and jowl. Dad, I want to have a party. Dad, I want to do what the other kids are doing. Please give me my money. I'm leaving. I'm sick and tired of all the rules. And this father took his checkbook. And I put a few zeros after the first letter, number. And this boy looked at that checkbook and those numbers. He said, boy, oh boy, I'm going to have a jowl. And he did. He did. He didn't buy bottles of wine. He bought, what's a fikey? He bought barrels of wine. His friends came from everywhere and they enjoyed life and they enjoyed all the things that was thrown to them. And this young man was so popular. And the messages go back to the father. Your son is doing well. Your son is very popular. Your son is doing well. And then all the money ran out and the friends ran out. And this young man sits without food. And you know what? The father light the candle every night. And he said, oh, my son. Oh, my son. And the father gets depressed. And the father didn't want to live any longer. And every night he stands there at the gate and he looks down the road and he's longing for his son, the son that betrayed him, the son that took his inheritance, the son that said he doesn't want it if he's dead, he wishes he was dead. And he's longing for his son. And then come the messages that this son is eating with the pigs. He had no clothes. It was torn and he was eating and having the bowls of the pigs, friends. And this young man started to think maybe it's better to go home. And he prepared a very beautiful speech. And the father stands by the gate and he's looking down the road. And about a kilometer away, he saw a figure. But he realized that this is not his son, because this guy is very thin and his son was a big boy. He was like the Samoan and Cook Islander boys, you know. And now all of a sudden he looks like, friends, I want you to get this. And the father said, that can't be my son. But he recognized the walk, you know. That is my son. You know what he did, Jake? He opened the gate and he threw everything down. Now, I know. Let me tell you this. You know, I was the pastor in Toowoomba at the school. And there was a Samoan boy. Nobody could run with him. He wins every race, long distance, short distance, high jump, everything he wins. So one day we had an assembly and I called him and I said, I'm going to race you. And he looked at me, he said, old man, what are you saying? I said, I'm going to race you, I'm going to show you something today. And he didn't believe what he heard, but he came and he stood there next to me. I said, are you ready? He said, yes. I turned him around. I said, you run backwards. I'm running forward. And this young man ran backwards laughing at me. Come on, Pastor, come on. You know, I know, old man can't run. This father ran. That Samoan will never stay with him. He ran to his son. And when he got to his son, he threw his arms around him. And the pigs, rubbish is running down his shirt. And the father grabbed him and just kissed him and said, oh, my son, my son. He said, Father, make me a servant. I want to pay my way back. Father, how can I please you? Father, what can I do? Father, what kind of works can I do to prove to you that I am a loyal son? And his father said, I have enough of your brother doing the proving. You are just my son. Oh, friend. And this young man said, no, I want to be a servant. And the father took the most expensive clock and put it around him and said, you see, you are a son of the king. My friend, Jesus is putting his cloak over you today and over you today and over you today. Simon, Mia, all my naughty friends, we've got quite a few here. Jesus put his cloak around you and he didn't see the dirt of the pigs. And he said, you are my son. That is the heart of my Father. Let's bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, O Lord, let your will be done in heaven and as on earth. But Father, we are this morning in this church building, and I hope we have seen the heart of God. A God who has sacrificed his son so that my sins can be paid for. Lord, how can I contribute in any way? What a bigger gift. What a bigger sacrifice. What can I ever even think to do except by taking that cloth of righteousness and become a son of God? I pray for the church who are very close to my heart, Lord. I pray for so many of our friends here this morning because I pray for myself. I realize my time is not so long and every day it becomes shorter. But I pray, my God, because of the righteousness of Jesus, I pray that we will see each other in heaven, each one of us. May this day be a markstone in our lives again. May this day come to where we realize how God loves us with a passion. Lord, Lord, my God, bless us and keep us in the name of Jesus. Amen.